Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks, and we'll begin today with newly released surveillance video of the day before the infamous art theft from the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum back in 1990. Thieves made off with $500 million worth of paintings in the most brazen and famous unsolved art heist in the nation's history. The grainy black and white footage reveals that one of the main suspects in the case, Richard Abbott, the night watchman, opened the museum's side door and let in an unidentified man just 24 hours before the museum was robbed. Investigators say this might have been a dry run for the theft, and they hope releasing the video now could help them identify that second man. Joining us now is Ulrich Boser. He's author of The Gardner Heist, the true story of the world's largest unsolved art theft. And Ulrich Boser, good to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So walk me through this video a little bit. Tell us what it reveals. What do you see in it?
Yeah, it's not a high-quality video, lots of flickers of black and white, but what you do see are the guards. There were two guards working that night going through their motions, and then later on in the video, you see investigators refer to as guard number two, but is widely believed to be Richard Abbott, let in an individual into the museum, and you get a glimpse of that individual wearing what appears to be a raincoat, and you can sort of see his hair as he walks out of the security space, out of the side door of the museum.
I see. So what are the theories as to why the FBI is releasing this video now, after all this time?
You know, there are some reports that the FBI had not seen this video earlier. I don't believe those reports are true. My understanding is that investigators have had this video for quite a long time. Look, when you talk to PR agents and they talk about, you know, how do you keep news at bay, they say release all your evidence at once and then, you know, let that news pass. You know, what we see the Bureau trying to do here and investigators at the museum is try to keep this case in the headlines, and what they're doing and have done over the past few years is release smaller bits of information to make sure that this case stays in the headlines. And what's important here is that, you know, the public really knows and is going to be key to solving this case. Someone somewhere knows where these paintings are. Someone somewhere knows the individual who visited the museum that night before the theft, and we need people to come forward.
So here's a statement. I want to read just part of a statement from Anthony Amore. As you know, he's an expert in museum security and author of Stealing Rembrandts. And he says, the video certainly raises more questions than it answers. I hope that the public will take a close look to see if they can identify the unknown individual who entered the building. Does this change, though, Ulrich, what we already know in a significant way?
I think it does certainly, as Anthony said, raise a lot of questions. I mean, it shines new light on the guard who was sitting behind the desk that night. There's long been question marks over his involvement. He was also at one point reported to have been pulled in front of a grand jury, and there are a lot of things that have been questionable about his behavior that we found out over the years. The Boston Globe has reported that he used to smoke marijuana on the job, and so people have raised questions about his involvement. Clearly, he's never been implicated in any way directly by law enforcement, but there's some curious aspects to his story. And more broadly, we have to keep in mind that in large-scale robberies, whether it's of museums or banks, it's often the case that there is some sort of inside connection.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a little bit more about Richard Abbott, because if I have it correctly, his public account is that he let the robbers in because he thought they were the police, right? But part of his public account was that these were the only people he let in. So this would seem to implicate him again. I mean, if he'd let someone else in.
That's correct. I mean, it does seem to go against some of what he's said publicly. And it's also very curious, right? I mean, this evidence suggests that this is some type of probe of the museum's security. This is occurs, as the FBI pointed out, precisely a day, 24 hours, right before the actual theft occurred. The individual who comes into the museum, you see their car in the security tape. The individual gets out, but then gets back in the car and flashes his headlights and then goes into the museum as if he's sending some signal. And if you watch the videotape closely, it does seem like this is happening sequentially. In other words, Richard Abbott, if he's that guard letting the visitor in, is waiting for the second guard to leave before he buzzes this person in. In other words, it doesn't appear to be, a late-night visit from a friend who's strolling past the museum at midnight. It does seem to be an organized visit, and it again suggests, but by no means proves, that this could have been some type of probe.
Sure. I want to ask you one final question. And, this crime occurred 25 years ago. It's amazing. U.S. Attorney Carmen Ortiz has said she'd consider granting immunity to anyone who may possess the paintings in exchange for their return. And it would be difficult to charge anyone with the actual theft because the statute of limitations has expired. I mean, so has this case turned into the need to solve a mystery for mystery's sake? Because the consequences are now, the legal consequences anyway, are almost non-existent. Of course, getting the paintings back would be a huge, huge thing.
Now, if you speak to lawyers, and I don't want to get too much into the details, it would be possible to prosecute someone with regard to this case due to a law that was passed subsequent to the theft. But let's set that aside for a moment, because I think there's two important things to keep in mind. One, law enforcement has made it very, very clear that they want the paintings back. They're not looking for a prosecution. And bigger than that, I mean, you point out, is this just solving a mystery? I mean, I think we have to keep in mind what's at stake here, and that's these wonderful paintings that have had long been this crown jewel of Boston. These are Vermeers, Rembrandts, and we need them back in order to be able to appreciate them, in order to share them. So I just want to underscore that this isn't, an Agatha Christie novel where, if we solve the mystery, great, and if we don't solve the mystery, that's fine too. These wonderful paintings really should go back to the museum.
All right. Well, that's Ulrich Boser. He's author of The Gardner Heist, The True Story of the World's Largest Unsolved Art Theft, talking about newly released video from the FBI today. Thank you, Ulrich, very much.
Thank you.
Listeners, stay with us. There's more ahead. The new push to change child custody laws in Massachusetts to give parents equal time with their kids. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.